this gal Francesca that they got to play that role is pretty special.
I'm eye-rolling with Sam Elliott's real-life wife. Hello, Addison!
Hey, Billy Dukes. How you doing over there?
Good. You?
I'm doing great.
You want to get our Landman episode 8 rating right out of the way?
I think I'm giving it an 8.
Gosh, I'm there with you.
Really?
I liked this episode quite a bit. I did.
Wow.
I did. It's kind of settling into its own thing, and I have an explanation for that a little bit later. Why I think Landman is kind of coming. One key character change that I think kind of made everything work here these last few episodes.
And I think you and I are probably thinking of the same character.
Okay. Well, we'll find out here shortly. Lots to talk about today.
Well, yeah, we're going to talk all about episode 8, and we have watched the episode 9 trailer, so we'll also be covering that. And I know in episodes past, I kind of watch it with y'all. This time I did watch it beforehand, so I have some thoughts. And yeah, what was the poll question that you've been kind of putting out feelers for this week?
Well, we've had a pretty good voting so far. This week's poll question, you can still take it if you're watching the live chat, is if you were Cammy, what would you do with Emtex? Would you sell the company, drill that well in the Gulf, or fight the insurance company?
Drill the well in the Gulf.
Oh, you're a risk taker. Okay. Well, right now that's the leading voter. 33% say drill. No, I take that back. It's changed. Oh. Nearly 50% now say sell the company, but it'll be a fluid poll here. We'll see how it ends up here before the end of the episode.
I wouldn't say sell the company.
I would. If I was Cammy, I'd sell the company.
I say that having owned zero businesses.
that money sounds pretty good. A quick shout out to our regulars here for checking in. We got Johnny, James, I see Sue, and then some new names as well. So I appreciate the new audience. Last week's episode of this podcast was our most viewed podcast episode ever. And we not only in real time did we have our best audience, but afterwards, which is partly to do with just like luck of the Google gods, but still, I'll take it. So I'm glad we're growing that audience.
I know, truly. Thank y'all for always tuning in and listening. And this is such a communal podcast. So definitely we couldn't do it without y'all. And Billy was very impressed by the word that I used. I just saw your eyes go, oh.
I was wondering if you're going to save that to the end. I have to make one edit here to our running order.
Okay.
We need to get to last week's trivia question before we get into this episode.
I'm interested to know why. Okay. Let me know. Oh, why?
Okay. Well, there's no specific reason, but we always do last week's trivia question. Then we come back at the end of the episode with a new trivia question. Mm-hmm. And I forgot to just mark that. This is just a little error on my part. Last week's trivia question, as always, for one of those great Dutton Rules t-shirts found at the Taste of Country store. If you're watching on YouTube, you can find links, some of that merchandise there right below the video. And the question was as follows. On Landman, Charlie Newsom plays a geologist who is asked to predict where gas may be on the ocean floor. In real life, one cast member is very familiar with marine biology and environmental science. Who is it?
And I guessed Taylor Sheridan, only just given the story that Guy gave us about how he had told Taylor, here's some things I'd want to change, X, Y, Z. And Taylor was like, did you know that this can't happen? Because blah, 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 like give him all this facts. So, but I'm wrong.
You are wrong. And in fact, this week, there was not one single correct answer.
Dang.
Everyone swung and missed on this one. And I thought I might have kind of teed it up a little bit because I talked about this actor quite a bit throughout the episode last week. But Mustafa Speaks, who plays Boss, he has a BS in marine and environmental science, and he authored a groundbreaking publication on shark behavior. He even helped discover a repellent for sharks.
What is he doing acting?
It does seem like maybe there's better money for him to be made out there. He just wanted the more stressful job, I guess.
Yeah, I'm like, wait a minute. What's he doing playing on Landman? I love him, but Wow, didn't know that. He wasn't even someone who came to mind.
He staff at tasteofcountry.com is the email address, and we'll have a much, much easier, I promise, trivia question a little bit later in the show today.
Fingers crossed.
Mm-hmm.
Billy, I've got to talk about my favorite character this episode.
I think I know who it is, but go ahead.
Cheyenne, the stripper turned, quote, physical therapist.
We turn them north towards Colorado.
Back feel better?
Everything feels better.
Such a moment. What a moment for Sam Elliott and that actress right there. Presumably you watched, but if you didn't, Tommy gets this great idea on the way out of town to stop by Rick's Cabaret, which is an actual strip club in Odessa, Texas. If anybody from Town Square is watching, that is why I Googled that on my computer recently. I swear it was for work. And he hires a dancer named Cheyenne to come be his father's physical therapist. Basically, he just wants her to stretch him out a little bit, get his joints moving, kind of help him out. And she takes it really seriously. She learns a new to me form of therapy that involves what you saw there in the swimming pool.
No, and I did some research, and aquatic therapy really is a real thing. It's better on now. I don't know about him doing kind of, you know, just laying there. I don't really know how much therapy that necessarily is, but when you look it up, it's supposed to be for older individuals or even, I mean, anyone. Swimming is just so much better on your joints. And so for those who are older and, you know, you're trying to get, maybe they had knee pain and you're trying to regain that by the resistance of the water, although it's still gentle on them, it is still, you know, building back muscle and different stuff that would be significantly harder for them on land. And I will say, Billy, whenever I go to California, there's a reason why you see a certain age range doing water aerobics. I did water aerobics this past October. Holy Toledo. It is not for the faint of heart. Like it is, I'm like Grandma Sue beside me was popping off and I'm huffing and puffing. So it's definitely still a good form of exercise and rehabilitation, but it's so much softer on the joints. So that really was a thing. I don't know about that, you know, just playing in the water like he was laying on his back. I don't know about that one, but aqua therapy really is a thing.
It sounds like Sue has done it before. She says it's easy on the joints. And another person commented too with the actress's name. That's Francesca Zerub. And I'm not 100% sure if I've pronounced that name correctly. She's had a lot of different roles. I immediately recognized her for one of my, I'm embarrassed to admit this is one of my favorite television shows, but I do love it. Have you watched the TV show Ted on Peacock?
No, it looks stupid.
This is the show with the bear.
Uh-huh, it looks dumb.
Set in the 80s. She's part of that. She plays kind of a mean girl in the character's class. And there's a great scene with her and the main character's mom. Not Ted's mom, because Ted's the bear. Ted's keeper's mom. Really, really entertaining show. Side note here, I love talking bears. So a TV show about a talking bear, I'm all in on. Especially a foul mouth talking bear. But that's neither here nor there. That was her biggest episode, and she's good in that. She's pretty good in this, too, but I'm not certain if my opinion wasn't skewed just a little bit.
I do love, you said this a few minutes ago, she didn't have to, like, really do any research. You know, Tommy was going to pay her just to float him around the pool, essentially, and so she's like, okay, fine. I honestly found it endearing and really sweet that she's like, okay, like, I'm going to look some things up.
She took the job seriously. She was getting paid good money. And apparently Francesca, as an actress, made a pretty big impression on the cast of Landman.
I think the idea of having a physical therapist was probably invaluable. I had no idea where she was going to come from. And this gal, Francesca, that they got to play that role is pretty special. I'm curious where it's going to go, put it that way.
I'm eye rolling with Sam Elliott's real life wife because when he says she's pretty special, you know, The wife's just like, all right, simmer down there, old man.
Yeah, literally.
Wearing blue jeans.
Wait, was he kind of teasing that there might be a little love interest there when he's like, you know, it'll be interesting to see where it goes or where it heads, something like that.
That seems un- oh, gosh.
That feels.
That seems think unlikely,
I,
but
I would be possibly. A little. I think I would be a little out. I would be a little squirmy on that. Like, let's just keep it the sweet thing that it is.
How about Dale when she comes walking through?
Dale's funny. I love that moment. Disc. Where he's like, I think I need a physical therapist. Sam Elliott, get your own physical therapist.
Are you TL? No, but I can be.
He was funny. I really liked him. I really liked him in that scene.
You know what I did appreciate in that scene? Is that he was wearing blue jeans in the swimming pool. Because I think it would have crossed a line a little bit if TL was actually in his underwear.
Yeah.
Like, that would have been kind of weird. But he was wearing blue jeans. It seemed on character and kind of didn't. Landman this season has avoided some of those sort of age sexual things. Like, we were sexualizing teenagers a little bit too much, in my opinion, in season one.
Yeah.
Like, Landman's kind of avoided that. Ainsley's hormones have been tampered down a little bit. This would have been the opposite end of it, I think, with TL and Cheyenne. And they put him in blue jeans, what made it all a little bit more safe, I feel.
Yeah. I agree. The thing that, and if you kind of want to take the reins on this, I got a little confused this episode where Charlie was explaining what happened to the rig and why he thinks that there's gas. And yep. Then how that played into Cammy's decision. Can you kind of break that down for us?
Okay, so we knew this meeting was coming. Nate and Rebecca decide that they would rather pursue litigation with the insurance company than try to actually drill the well, because Charlie, who's the geologist, has said that there's a 10% chance that they'll actually find gas in the Gulf. Tommy agrees with the group that it's probably not very prudent to try to take that. They'd essentially be wildcatting. But we learn that Charlie's also a little bit of a... He's got a little bit of a wild catter explorer spirit at heart. What he explains is that for 8 years, this well in the Gulf was producing. Then they decided to go about 5,000 feet deeper in an effort to ramp up production. And that's when everything fell apart there. That's when the big trouble came for everybody.
The question here is, did you push through an isolated pocket of gas, or was this pocket indicative of a much larger reservoir, which was your original geologist theory, one that I tend to agree with, given the number of producing rigs in the region notated on here.
Charlie is saying that he thinks that there's gas everywhere. They just went a little bit too far with that one drill. So if they go back in and drill again, they'll be able to get that great gas production out and fairly easily recoup that $400 million loan or investment from Galeno.
So then why, so if there's so much confidence there, why was Tommy so reserved about that choice when Cammy said, do it, drill it?
Because it's spoken confidence, but Charlie still admits it's a 10% chance of actually being successful.
Gotcha.
Like, he thinks he can do it. He can beat the odds. He's like, apparently, the Michael Jordan of ocean geologists. Like, he can take that chance and win. But in the big picture, it's still a huge, huge risk on this investment. So Cammy, though, she's playing with her emotions. Like, she's making emotional decisions. She wants to drill. She wants to make that big money and kind of almost create her own company just 8 months after her husband died. It seems like a rash decision to me. And this goes back to our poll question. I'm team sell the company, you know, find my own. If I'm Cammy, I find my own business that yeah. I'm comfortable running. I don't necessarily just want to pick up my husband's business and run.
Yeah, I agree with you. She's a little too emotionally inclined or emotionally leaning when it comes to her choices. And I will say 100%. That the episode was called Handsome Touched Me. And it wasn't what I thought it was. This all kind of happened in the same sequence when Charlie, right before Charlie and Rebecca came.
It was about a 10 to 12 minute long series of scenes. But mm-hmm. Handsome refers to the guy at the bar, I think, who mm-hmm. wiped salad dressing off of Cammy Miller's face. Like, he is Handsome who touched me, which kind of feel like she owes that guy an apology. Like, he wasn't too far out of line. He's just doing what older single guys do when they see beautiful women at the bar. Maybe he realized he's married, and then in which case his bad, but maybe he didn't even look at the ring.
I'm maybe sorry.
I'm giving him too much. Maybe I'm giving him too, as I said that, I realized
that rock,
that
I could probably see from space, but yes, her reaction where it's almost like he kissed her is how I felt like she reacted. It was too much, which granted, we understand when she goes to the bathroom, it's more of a moment of her husband touched her that way. And so it was essentially triggered of just like past remembrance that she took out on the poor man, which granted, I'm going to be honest, I'm not sitting at a bar and a guy's not coming over and brushing ketchup off my face. I don't know what ketchup, but I don't know.
Yeah, I got to say that it wouldn't endear me to that guy if I was a woman. Like, that would, I'd be instantly embarrassed, and that wouldn't be like, oh, ha ha, cute. Thank you. My savior who wipes my salad dressing off my face. Cause apparently I can't do that myself.
Like if he told me like, hey, you got a little ketchup on your face, like that's probably one thing. And then you can just flirt your way through that. But yeah, don't be wiping it off for me when I don't know you.
So at the end of the day, Cammy has decided that she wants to take Galeno's investment of $400 million and she is going to move forward. Tommy hopes that he can talk Galeno out of making the loan because it's a huge, huge gamble and he stands to lose the $400 million. But Galeno is not very easily convinced.
The best thing is the well is dry. It's over quick. She sells the pieces, but she retires a very, very wealthy woman.
Not as wealthy as you.
No, but that's what $400 million buys you. And if you were in my position, would you do different?
Nothing. I'd do it the same.
Galeno's seeming less and less like a bad guy, and truly, he's a businessman.
He's figured out a way to sort of short stock in Cammy Miller. Like, he's made himself into a win-win position. I don't know. I had to watch that scene two or three times to kind of understand all about the royalties and what Cammy Miller put up to secure that loan. Hmm. Did you get it the first chance?
Kind of. He's going to benefit regardless. It's not as risky on his behalf.
So Cammy took the $400 million from Dan Morrell, a.k.a. Galeno, and she secured that loan with royalty payments from the existing leases, which generate about $300 million a year. Royalties in that oil world are essentially a share of the profit pumped from every gallon of gas. Could be a couple bucks, a few bucks per gallon for a landowner. If the well's dry, Dan will get to keep all those existing royalties. Hence the does it kill the company, because then MTEX would have no more flow of income. I'm going to give you a scenario here, and I think this kind of simplifies it a little bit. Addison, imagine you own 50 acres of land somewhere in Texas. All right. You discover oil. Mm-hmm. And the oil company says, Addison, let us drill. We'll pay for everything, cover all costs. We're going to give you $2 to $3 a gallon in perpetuity. That's easily $10,000 to $20,000 per month in your pocket for just basically letting an oil company set up shop. Mm-hmm. But then your eyes get a little bit bigger and you think, ooh, across the street there, I bet you there's some gas. I need some money to go drill over there on my own. That way I can make the big money. So you want to kind of wildcat your own well. So you go to your friend, we'll call him Don Morrell, and say, loan me this money. If I can't pay you back, you can keep all that royalties on that original drill site. Don knows that he's either, as an investor, going to strike it rich with you, or he's going to get to recoup that full investment in like 20 to 40 months time. You go bankrupt and it's all profit for him.
It's smart on his behalf, and it's one of those that I don't think he's a bad guy for it.
This is, and we're getting some comments here, and I've asked this question several different times throughout this series. Who is the bad guy in season 2 of Landman? I don't know that it's Galeno. Like, what has he done this season that's bad? He's made a ethical loan to someone who needed it.
Yeah.
He hasn't really screwed anybody over. Like, he's just kind of a thorn in Tommy's side. And even last year, he was kind of a good guy because he saved Tommy's life. He's just sort of that friend who's been in the jail a few times. You know, you maybe don't trust him with all your money, but he might have some good money advice here or there.
Staff at tasteofcountry.com. I see some people asking the email that they can send trivia and other things too. So that's staff at tasteofcountry.com. And speaking of money, Billy, we got to talk about Angela at the casino.
Someone posed a good question real quick. Give me a second. That. I apologize, Addison.
No, you're good. I missed it.
Dana, I can't say that. Dana's Elam has a question. I think the gas drilling is where the disaster is going to leave lives in the balance. Season over, boom. We do seem to be rapidly getting to that gas exploration. If you saw some of the preview, we'll play the trailer for episode 9 here in just a few seconds. But that does sort of speak to that theory. So hold that point, Dana, because that could be pretty intuitive there. Mm-hmm. All right, you were saying. I apologize.
No, you're good. I loved Angela. The whole just old folk scenes were just so happy this episode. But I loved watching Angela at the casino. She's a badass. I've always thought that. But then seeing she's not just like this badass blonde who sometimes won't, not sometimes, only knows how to yell and does not have an inside voice whatsoever. But she's a little bit of a strategy girl. The way that she hustled at the roulette table and made, what, $300,000? Right?
We'll get to that point. Well, here.
Hey, baby. Did you happen to count how much money your mama made here?
$317,622.68.
How the hell do you win 68 cents?
Nickel slots? It was me.
Good job, baby.
Apparently 17-year-olds can play the slots in Texas, but that's neither here nor there. Angela wins most of that money on the craps table, but she also does very well at the roulette table.
It's a good win. You ready to cash out?
Let it ride.
Ah, God.
Let it ride.
I believe.
Let's go, boy.
Come on. Yeah. Black, 24.
I loved it. I was like, Tommy loans her, or not loans her, he gives her $10,000. She made a profit. Pop off, queen.
Yeah, I'd say so. That was a fun scene. I mean, the scenes of the old folks this season have been nothing but just good sort of entertainment with a little bit of depth. Sometimes the Angela Ainsley scenes are a little shallow. But whenever they're with the old folks at the assisted living home, it always sort of, I don't know, you feel good watching those scenes. I still think that that's going to lead to some sort of tragedy down the line. Maybe not this season.
Gosh.
But they're old. One of them might die, you know?
Okay.
Okay. Martin has a good point here. They were in Carlsbad, New Mexico. There's no slot machines in Texas. Well, I don't think you can be 17 and gamble in New Mexico either. But
do I have to be 18? Or I don't know.
I think you got to be 21. Do you know? In drinking establishments?
Oh, maybe. I don't know why I thought in Oklahoma you just had to be 18, but I wasn't gambling at 18, so to be honest, I don't know.
Have you ever been to a casino?
I have. I hate it.
It's why? Just, really? Why?
Maybe if I went to a non-smoking casino, but about an hour in, I have the worst headache, and I just don't like it.
Oh, you got to go to better casinos that have better ventilation or...
Maybe. I've just been to a lot in Vegas. And that the whole time, I'm just kind of like, okay, I think my head is just pounding from secondhand smoke.
I go very rarely, and I'm not a huge gambler, but I did go several years ago. We had a Super Bowl weekend where I went and watched the Super Bowl. And ahead of time, we stopped at a casino in Michigan City, Indiana. And I was just playing video poker. And me and my brother-in-law both won like about $1,000 each playing video poker. That was a good day. That was a good day.
That's fun.
And I promise I told my wife about it.
And if not, she's hearing about it now.
She might be. Who knows? She'll pop in here anytime she wants.
R.I.P. Yeah. If you know, you know. Do you feel like
you we got to a scene there with Ainsley, and I want to mention one thing about Ainsley really quickly with regards to that counting scene. And I don't know if you've noticed this, but this season Ainsley is acting much more like a teenager than she is sort of this over-sexualized young woman like she was. And I think the show is better off for it. She really admires her mom. She looks up to her. She's calmer. She's the nervous one in the group as her mom's spending that money. And like, that's a total teenager thing to do. Like, you would count that money down to the penny to know how much your mom won at the table. It's a lot more comfortable, and I enjoy it a lot more than I enjoyed Ainsley in season. And she's still a spitfire, but I don't. It's not as uncomfortable of a watch as it was at times for me in season one.
I agree. And to your point, they're under sexualizing her in a good way.
Yeah, she hasn't had any boyfriends this season. If you've noticed. And last season it was like boyfriend after boyfriend and like bedroom scenes. And, I've appreciated that.
I agree.
So that's just a little character development there.
I agree. Do you think, and we're going to talk about this probably a little bit more in a trailer for episode 9. Are you still confident that Boss is going to be the one who dies?
So this goes back to our conversation from last week about how we feel one character in particular is going to die. Not only me, but a lot of people watching thought that Boss was on tap because of that conversation he had about how he's retiring at the end of the summer. And that's just such a trope for TV and film for that person never to make it to retirement. There was a scene from this episode that kind of reinforced that for me. And when we get to the trailer, there's another moment. Here's what I'm talking about. I'll have to explain probably, but it's the scene with Cooper and Boss. And Cooper is now project manager. Boss is expressing some hesitation. Like, they're keeping this whole plot line going of Cooper and Boss and these other guys. It has really not gone anywhere, but I think it is going to go somewhere by episodes 9 or 10. I think that's going to be the source of some tragedy here before the end of season 2.
Let's break down on that note trailer for episode 9.
Yeah. Okay. We've both watched this and the trailer came late this week. Typically the trailer has been out right after the previous episode. This one's just dropped on Tuesday morning.
What's that smell?
That's money. Next time on Landman.
Why don't you come with me? Let me show you the future.
The future? Do you have a crystal ball?
I think maybe so.
This is my crew now. Yes or no?
This thing doesn't work, it's our ass.
I understand it now. There's an exhilaration to the risk.
That rush cost me everything.
President of my company can't be averse to the very thing that built it.
What are you saying?
Takeaways? What'd you see there?
Well, first, when they open up that scene with her, Rebecca going, oh, what's that smell? I deeply related to that after driving, as you y'all know, last week or the week before through Lubbock. And you just have a ton of pump jacks around you. And that smell of that natural gas. I mean, my brother and I both at one point were like, we have the circ button on in this truck. And somehow we are still smelling that natural gas. It is thick. Well, one thing that it looks like Galeno, for whatever is happening, he's living high on life. So that concerns me a little bit whatever's going on, either with the oil rig or whatever. He's still profiting.
I thought there was a lot of distraction in that trailer. I thought what was important was two things. One was really subtle. Did you see Angela was in tears there?
Yeah, to be honest, I didn't. I just ignored that. Only because I feel like she's in tears a lot or like pissed off.
Yeah, I guess.
But that one felt.
I ignored Galeno for that same reason. I thought to myself, oh, he's just being Galeno, living the rich man life with his wife.
Well, something I did notice is it looks like I don't know what was being pulled out by a tugboat, but either drilling equipment in the water. It's not an oil rig. I don't know what that was being pulled out, but clearly it had to do with either the equipment that they're trying to get out to an oil rig or something. And it looks like it's sinking, which not a great sign.
Oh, did you think it was sinking? I thought just the opposite. I thought they were pulling it out into the water.
And it's getting like this. Started with... Look at that again. It's dipping in the back.
I don't know. For whatever reason, I wasn't concerned by that. Okay. I don't know. I know that's not logical.
Okay. We'll circle back when whatever it is sinking. But yeah, I think Boss is right in his fate. He's like, if this goes wrong,
right,
it's our rear end. And I'm like, probably gonna go wrong.
Yeah, it looks like they're attempting it anyway to move on with that well in the Gulf. And I think the little clip of Charlie we saw might have been him on the rig or on a boat heading out that way. So like they're going with this thing. They're wasting no time to get started. They kind of have to because they have to appease the insurance company at this point. But that was the big takeaway there. And then at the end, let's not dismiss that line from Cammy, who says the president of her company is opposed to the very thing that founded the company, which is, I think she's referring to wildcatting and exploration of new wells.
But isn't that what she okayed?
Yeah, but Tommy's against it. So it sounded to me like she was, I think they're trying to get you to think that she's going to fire him, which no way that happens. But that's what I think her statement was sort of meant to do.
Got it. That's all I took from, I don't have anything else from the trailer, do you?
Well, James points out that TL was upset by something. I don't know.
I wonder if he falls again and then he's just really upset that life isn't getting any easier. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe. He's kind of a moody old man, isn't he? Let's watch it one more time.
What's that smell?
That's money. Next time on Landman.
Why don't you come with me? Let me show you the future.
The future? Do you have a crystal ball?
I think maybe so.
This is my crew now. Yes or no?
This thing doesn't work. It's our ass.
I understand it now. There's an exhilaration to the risk.
That rush cost me everything.
President of my company can't be averse to the very thing that built it.
What are you saying?
You know, another line we missed there, it does sound like we get a little bit more information on the rush that cost Tommy his first fortune and ended his marriage.
Mm-hmm.
A little background information there. They really give you his backstory in small bites, don't they?
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of a surprising thing to me.
Kind of going off his backstory. I do think in episode 8, I like that we're seeing a slightly more compassionate side to Tommy. Between the TL getting him a physical therapist, and even when he was asking, you know, who did Ainsley count the money, and just the way that he was saying that, like, good job, girl, honey, or whatever. I think I'm seeing a little bit of a softer, compassionate side to Tommy Norris.
And that's kind of what we were talking about. I think we were both on the same page when we started today's episode and conversation, is that Tommy's compassion and patience is making everything work now. Like, mm-hmm. when Angela and Ainsley were a little overbearing and Rebecca was a little bit unbearable, like, Tommy was grating with them, but now he kind of lets it happen and manages that crazy. It's much, much more enjoyable. And in some strange kind of way, and maybe this speaks a little bit to my growing up, relatable. But I thought that was a great change brought on by that in-depth conversation he had with his father, TL, at the cafeteria, I think last episode or the episode previously.
Mm-hmm. I thought Cooper and Boss were heading out to the 6 out of 6 sites that Cooper owns with Galeno, not the damaged rig in the Gulf.
That's right. That's right. James had a comment there on YouTube. That's right. Cooper and Boss are working on those sites that Cooper founded. They're not involved with the Gulf, with the rig in the Gulf. If I said otherwise, that was a mischaracterization. Good point there.
Let's get into what is this week's trivia, and that can be found at staff, or that can be sent in at staff@tasteofcountry.com.
We do it every week. We take one correct answer from all correct answers at that email address. In addition to people who put a comment under this video after the podcast, the live podcast wraps. So not just putting the answer in the live stream. In fact, some people get a little bit annoyed if you put it in the live stream, but you got to comment underneath the video to be eligible for the prize, which, as always, is one of our great Dutton Rules t-shirts found at tasteofcountrystore.com. Mike, who we haven't heard from this week, he was the winner a couple of weeks ago. Last week, we didn't have a winner, but a new trivia question this week, and I think it might be the easiest one yet, Addison. You tell me, short and sweet, TL's physical therapist has a very, very unique vanity license plate. What is it? Correct spelling only.
That is good, only because they quite literally did a tight shot as the black car was coming in.
Yeah, and they said it. I think Angela says it. One of them says it. So it should be we should get a winner. I felt bad that we didn't have a winner last week. So we'll give a winner. Staff@tasteofcountry.com is that email address. Once again, that's also the place if you have other questions, comments, theories, or just want to talk about Landman or some of these other great shows. That's kind of what we do here. So we enjoy doing that.
The Q&A for this week, we're starting out with Lance on YouTube, who says, I miss all... Oh. Billy loves throwing that in. He just... You love not telling me, and then boom. What's the breaking news?
Breaking news... about as breaking as all of our news is here on the podcast. Mayor of Kingstown from Taylor Sheridan is going to wrap up after season 5. Just finished season 4. We're going to have one more 8-episode season. I watched a little bit of Mayor of Kingstown for the first time, and I'm kind of into it. I might just kind of binge it over the next few months. Likely in the next 12 to 18 months is when that will premiere, but that's one of those Taylor Sheridan shows now. And keep in mind, he's going to a new network in 2028, I think it is. And he can't take these shows with him. I'm wondering, I mean, certainly tying a bow on that one, how many of these shows will sort of get wrapped up before he leaves, even though Paramount Plus will still get to keep the rights.
Right. That's funny. That's what I was looking at. Billy, I thought I opened up. Go for it.
Johnny says, I thought I opened a pop-up by accident when the music hit. Nope, it's just me. Sorry, guys.
That's so fair. If it makes you feel any better, I also was thrown off guard. All righty. With no more scares left in the tank, Lance on YouTube says, this is our Q&A, says, I miss all the cartel action. I don't
Me
think
too.
I... You do?
Me too. I do.
I don't.
You don't?
Like I could do away with all the slapping and hitting and putting bags over your faces. Like me, I'm good. But that's always been
the
me.
Violence.
I know.
Give me a little bit. Maybe it was a little heavy at times, but I would take just like a little smidge of that. You know what I mean?
Okay. I don't.
Maybe I'm an alcoholic looking for a drink, I guess. But I'm with you, Lance. I'm with you.
Rick Johnson on YouTube says, Taylor Sheridan is great at building storylines and subplots. What he's notorious for is the inability to keep a story going. Proof is on Yellowstone, 1883, 1923, and now Landman. Massive gunplay is coming. Kill off everything, everyone, even the dog. Taylor does it every time.
I think that's not inaccurate, but it's a little bit unfair. And here's why. First of all, 1883 did not suffer from that problem. I thought 1883 was well done. 1923... suffered from him agreeing to a second season. I thought maybe just a longer first season would have been enough. Mm-hmm. And there were so many obstacles for Yellowstone that he had to kind of navigate around. Network drama, COVID, Kevin Costner drama. I don't know if we can sort of put that on him completely. But sometimes to Rick's point, Taylor doesn't always land the ship. But I think he has in certain shows. Lioness so far has been very good. I think Mayor of Kingstown is... as it's gotten deeper into the seasons, has been strong. Certainly 1883. And then Tulsa King, I guess we'll see. It was still only a couple episodes into season 3 of that show. But I'm not sure.
Karen from our emails says, this might be my favorite episode. My favorite overall theme through this episode is Tommy's compassion to everyone. His compassion to his father and getting him a physical therapist that will fit in TL's world. His compassion to Cammie when she breaks down and tells him the story from lunch that she just wants to keep her business His compassion for Rebecca when she admits that what Charlie told her, even though it hurts so deep, was the truth. I agree.
Karen emailed and said this was her favorite episode of Landman so far for those reasons. And this goes to what we were just talking about. I tend to agree with all the points. I think Tommy's compassion is hopefully here to stay. You know, hopefully it's not just setting us up for another twist of the knife in these last two episodes, but it makes a lot of things on this show work.
I agree with that. Don't forget, staff@tasteofcountry.com is where you can leave comments or on the comment section of our YouTube video. As always, thank you so much for listening. If you're on Spotify, give us a rating. Apple Podcast, feel free to leave a review. We'll keep doing this if y'all keep liking it.
As Addison sort of scrambles to come up with her word of the week to close the show, I'm going to list off many of the great songs in a song-heavy episode of Landman. Episode 8 featured Red Shahan, a song so new Shazam didn't even know how to find it. It's called Cotton Fire. That was at the very beginning. Sweet Caroline, of course, was when they're on the way to the casino. Honky Tonk Hall of Fame by George Strait and Chris Stapleton as Margaret was getting a makeover. We didn't really talk about that, but I thought that scene was kind of cute.
I loved it.
A little nervous that her husband was going to have like a bad reaction and think, who you been hanging out with, woman? And one of those things, but I liked that he was into it.
I liked it. That was fun. I can't believe I forgot about that.
Yeah, get you some, girl. Roadrunner by Lainey Wilson was in the song. Ashlyn Craft's Last $20 was played at the casino. So much good music at the casino, including Nikki Lane's Jackpot. Better Be Tough by Ella Langley as TL's physical therapist arrives. Vincent Neil Emerson's The Great Highway. Another new song was towards the end of the episode. And then Coulter Wall's The Last Loving Words was at the very end as Cheyenne is cradling TL like a little baby boy, like just sort baby of gliding him through the water as his hair flowed naturally on the surf.
That would have been, if I were Sam Elliott, that would have been my favorite scene. You're getting paid to just float in the water like this. So nice.
How about Francisca Zurab, or however you say her name, getting to go home? Guess what I did today, Mom?
I cradled
Sam Elliott in a swimming pool for 8 straight hours like that. I want to talk to that actress just to ask about that. Like what it was like to hold Sam Elliott like a child.
Like a literal child in a pool for multiple takes. Oh, man.
Johnny says, I need a Twitter gif of Cheyenne cradling TL. Yes, we all do.
Yes. Well, y'all, the Dutton Rules Yellowstone Franchise podcast is another community-oriented Town Square Media podcast.
Thanks for watching.
Bye, y'all. See you next week.